Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, May 6, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 95, the third paragraph. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you through one paragraph ending in the desire must come from within. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, Lynn F., Craig F., Alana P. as our beloved backup. Our readers for the 12-step, Joni C., Traditions, Michelle J., our newcomer greeter, Colleen M., and our host, Christina G. Today's reference numbers for yesterday, May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 22,403, 10 a.m., 22,404. Okay, I'm still getting a message that my phone is not coming in very well. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you well.
I can hear you.
We can hear you.
Perfectly clear. Perfectly clear here in New Jersey.
Yeah. Clear here in Ontario.
Okay, thanks, y'all. I just was getting some text. Wanted to make sure. Okay.
Clear in Illinois.
All right, well, just give me a shout if I'm not. Thank you. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are listed as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for your service, Amy.
We can't hear you, Amy.
We aren't hearing the moderator.
Can't hear you, Amy. Maybe the person that can do traditions can get on and start.
Sure. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thanks for letting me serve. Moderator, we still don't hear you.
Oh. Okay, this is Nancy C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic in the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. I believe we are on page 95, the third paragraph, starting with if he is sincerely interested in unpacking that one paragraph. And I'll now ask the reader to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, dear. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, or his friends. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. When I read this paragraph, there was a line from the big book on page 59 that just, well, actually two lines that just really resonated. And at the top on how it works, it says, without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And that invitation just sticks with me when I'm working with a newcomer. And when I recall my time and as I unpack my own relationship with my higher power, when I first came in the room, I brought with me my childhood God, and it wasn't a very healthy interpretation. It was something that I had brought with me from childhood, from a religious upbringing, and it wasn't very welcoming. And through the grace of God and through the grace of fellows in recovery, I was able to begin my own relationship with the God of my understanding. And it's with that same grace that I must approach a man that is, or a person that I'm working with, whether it's a newcomer, whether it's an outreach call, whether it's family and friends. Like, I have to know that God is from within, and there's nothing I can do to make someone experience their higher power. All I can do is share what has worked for me. So the line, he should not be pushed or prodded, also resonates for me, and I can take that grace with me today. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Lynn F. And we are now going to open the lines for sharing on this topic, and I will remind you that this is a large meeting, and we want to hear everyone's voice. So if you shared on Monday or Friday on any vision meeting, please step back and let others have a chance to be heard. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Shanna C.
Anna.
Lisa N.
Was that Lisa N?
That's right.
Okay.
Nicole F.
Craig F.
Nicole F. Craig F. Okay. Anybody else out there? I've got Shanna, Lisa, Nicole, Craig. Who else wants to share on this paragraph?
Joelle B. from Illinois.
Joelle B. You guys are
B.
being so nice today.
Vasa L.
Got it. Vasa.
Michaela B. is in boy from Maryland.
Michaela B. All right, this is who I have. Let's start with this lineup. I have Shanna C., followed by Lisa N., Nicole S., Craig F., Joelle B., Vasa O., and Michaela B. If you're not Shanna C., please press star 1 to mute yourself. And Shanna, you have the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. This is Shanna C., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Tennessee. Thanks for stepping in and being of service, and thanks, Amy. Sorry things aren't working out technically. I hate it when that happens. But nonetheless, it's great to be on the line this morning. It's wonderful to hear your all's voices, as always. And that's one of the things that drew me in, and I love how when I got to that level of desperation that I needed to be at in order to really hear and take some action with regard to my compulsive overeating, this meeting was here and people didn't push or prod. And I remember just being so desperate. I listened to this woman who was giving her her talk on one Sunday morning after I gotten up from my knees. I picked up an old notebook that had a Vision for You phone meeting in it that I had put away for a long time, but I begged God for help, and I picked up this book, and it had the number in it. And it just so happened to be a Sunday, and I gave it a call, and I listened, and this woman was telling my story. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. I haven't done this in a while. But I'm just, when I get emotional, when I can look back and see the hand of God at work in my life. And that apparently that desire did come from within. Because I gave her a call and she just so happened to have an opening that week for sponsorship. And I've been with her ever since. And she's never pushed or prodded me. She's never coddled. She's always been calm, frank, and open. That is one thing I can say, and you know, and I want to be that way. And I'm reminded in this paragraph here where it says, I'm not to be pushed or prodded by me, being as a sponsor in helping that newcomer. The wife is not to prod him, nor his friends. And so, you know, I'm reminded there that even though I'm in step 12, I can still have a tendency to push and prod. Just because I've done some inventory and seen my grosser handicaps doesn't mean that I can't slip into self-will and start forcing things, even with the best intentions. So, but nonetheless, I get to see it and I get to back off and pull back on the throttles, go back to God and just understand I'm just here to share and I'm here to guide. You know, people ask me for help. I tell the truth as best as I can see it. But, hey, I have no monopoly on God. You know, it's not a take it or leave it. Don't let the door hit you. But, you know, it kind of is. I don't mean, you know, but there's nothing else I can do other than say what had happened with me. And I hope that people find that desire for God because that's what has actually lifted my obsession. To compulsively overeating keeps me abstinent one day at a time. And it really is a day at a time. And before I start rambling, I'm going to stop talking. And I just want to say how grateful I am that I've been sponsored this way. And that's it.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And next up, we have Lisa N. Lisa, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Okay, Nancy, thank you so much for your service this morning. Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And I am very grateful to be recovered in this program by God's grace and mercy, just one day at a time. And I think that's the gift here is just today. I have a recent experience where I have a friend that is still sitting in the fertilizer as it were, and I'm waiting for that person to be ripe for the plucking. That they need to sit in that fertilizer for a while. They're not ready. And it's so painful to be watching them be in pain. But my sponsor reminded me that, you know, it's got to be the right time. It's got to be the right time because otherwise it's not going to work. They have to be desperate. And to pray for that person to feel desperate enough to choose a higher power to help them with this. And then seek help. But that's what it all is. We have to find God. And we have to have that desire within us, ourselves. We can't have somebody else's desire. We have to have our own. And that's the beauty of this program, is that we come to it as we come. It's slowly. It doesn't matter how we come here. It doesn't matter when we get it. It just matters that we do. And so if you're new, if you're relapsed, just get down on your knees and find that relationship with a higher power again. Ask for the willingness to be willing to hear and to want that power to help you. Like I said, it was sad watching it this weekend. It was hard for me not to say things. I brought it up, what had helped me and not what they should do, but all that was said was, yeah, I should think about that. And I was like, yep, not right. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nicole N. from Wisconsin. And Lisa N. from Wisconsin just finished speaking, and now we have Nicole S. from Colorado. You have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Nancy, for your service. This is Nicole S., recovered in Colorado. And I really like the first part and wants to see you again if he's sincerely interested. Ask him to read this book in the interval. And I tend to just over-talk. It's one of my character defects that God is just, gets a lot of opportunity to work on. I want to sell things, and I want to, feel important. And, I can just direct them to this book. We guide them through it and let the book do the talking. It's so laid out on very clear directions that I don't have to just keep pushing and prodding and persuading, teaching. I can let the book do the talking. And it's such a good reminder for me too that all that pushing and prodding and trying to teach them and persuading them, all those things is not going to work if their desire doesn't come from within them. It talks earlier on in the book, we would think, she's such a nice girl. Why can't he quit for her? If this desire doesn't come from within them, it's not going to matter, if their children, if anybody in their family, if people in program are, pushing and prodding and trying to help them, because the desire has to come from within them. They have to decide that they want to get well. And so it's just such a good reminder for me to let this book do the talking, and that person who's sincerely interested, that I can direct them to part of this book and let it do the talking. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole F. from Colorado, and all the way from Oklahoma, let's hear from Craig F. Craig, you have the mic.
Hi. Thank you. This is Craig F. recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. There's an old country saying that says you can push cattle, you have to lead sheep, and there's no way you can herd cats. And people, I think people tend to be a lot more like sheep or cats. You really can't push them, especially an addict in the disease. You can't push them. They won't herd. You can lead them sometimes if they're willing to go. And this paragraph's telling us that we need to be ready to lead. And I'm reminded, of course, of Bill Wilson when he called on Dr. Bob. That first of all he'd tried to drag people off bar stools for 6-7 months, and it didn't work. He was going to people that hadn't asked for the message. They weren't ready for the message, and it wasn't successful. But when he went to Dr. Bob, he went there with the idea that he was going to keep himself sober, and not that he'd given up on the idea, almost that he could find somebody else to get sober. And he went to Dr. Bob, and what he did was told his own story. He said, "This is what I drank like." And Dr. Bob heard the message because he heard his own drinking in that message. And so he was leading him by showing him, "This is the way I went." That's what we have to do. Most of our prospects are people that come to meetings. They're people that have taken the first step in. They're curious about the program. If you're out walking down the street and going up to every likely suspect on the street, somebody you think is overweight or looks anorexic, and you're trying to hand them the program, you're probably going to get a lot of rebellion and resistance. They haven't taken the first step towards the program, not the first step of the steps, but they haven't moved towards the program. They aren't curious. They aren't interested. They haven't asked for this recovery, and they're not ready to be, they're not ready to follow. But most of our prospects come from those people that have come through the door and said, "What is this place? And what is this what is this recovery? And when we have that, if we can stay with the idea that we're not pushing cattle, we're not herding cats. Thank you. We're here to lead by example. We're here to tell our own stories and give people an opportunity to identify. We become much more successful. And it's the same with sponsees. Here's what I did. Maybe you might want to try this too. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Craig S. And next up, we have Joelle B. followed by Vasa O. And please tell us where you're calling from when you start talking.
Hi, this is Joelle B. from Illinois. I'm kind of new, and I'm so happy that I'm on this chapter working with others because I had not gone through the AA book before. I was in here a few years ago, but I never took it seriously. And I'm so grateful that that we are going through this chapter. And I really didn't realize how important it is to follow the sponsor. I had a sponsor and she had to step down, and I'm looking for a new one, but I'm really seriously interested, and I want to do what I'm supposed to do, because every time I don't get on the program and listen and to the shares, then I find myself grabbing the wrong thing. And this is really important today because I had a bad weekend and I thought, what am I doing, you know? And then I look at this and it, are you seriously interested or not? And I want to get a sponsor that can work with me. I'm not 16 anymore, 21. I'm older than that and retired woman. And I eat out a lot, and I'm watching what I eat, but not all the time. Thank you for sharing, everybody, because I do know who God, my God is. My God is out there, and he's within me. And I'm praying every day that I will do the right thing today and not fall off the wagon. And I thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Joelle B. from Illinois. And stay on for the end of the second hour where sponsors announce themselves and find somebody to latch on to. Next up, we're going to hear from Vasa O., followed by Marcella B., and then we're going to be taking more names. So before Vasa gets on, let me remind people who might have gotten on a little late that we are in the big book. We're on page 95, the third paragraph, if he is sincerely interested. Vasa O. from Massachusetts, please
yes,
share with
us. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I believe it's Nancy. Thank you, Nancy, for your service, right?
Yes.
Thank you. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater and alcoholic from Foxborough, Massachusetts. So this is a perfect paragraph that we just read. I was suffering with a food addiction for many, many years before I came to Overeaters Anonymous, and I was so ready and willing to hear the message. And my sponsor came from AA, but her number one addiction was food addiction. And she gave me the big book at that time, and she just gave me so much hope. And I'm so grateful that she had done the steps. She knew the program before I came for a couple of years, and I wanted to have what she had. And she gave me the big book. It was such a gift. What a gift. And she never pushed me. She never said, you got to do this, you got to do that. She says, this is Advasa. If you follow the directions, and you will recover. And I needed to believe and trust her because she's been doing it all those years. And she said, if it's working for me, it's going to work for you. So I said, well, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't know why you give me this book. She said, just press, I mean, press,
cross alcohol and put food. And that's what I did. I could not wait to read the book from the beginning to the end. You know, it took me another week before I went to another meeting, you know, but I took the book home and I read it from the beginning to the end. Not in one day. Every day I'd read a little more, and it gave me so much hope. And if those men and women recovered, the 100 men and women, then it gave me so much hope. And that was the beginning of my new life with my recovery, higher power, meetings, everything. And this is working with others. And I know at the beginning I did a lot of mistakes. I wanted to bring the world in our way. I wanted to save everybody. But thank God I stayed in the program, and I'm always learning. If people are not ready, they're not ready. We can bring the horse to drink water, but we cannot make him drink it. But I was ready, and she had me sold. I was ready, and I was willing to do whatever it took, and I'm just so grateful. And I remember she said, try 6 meetings. If it's not for you, nobody's going to force you to stay, and nobody's going to make you stay or leave, you know. I knew I felt at home, and I still feel at home, and I'm so grateful to be on the vision for you. And I came like when it started, and I've never left. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Vasa O from Massachusetts. And next up we have Michaela B, and if you would tell us where you're calling from, that would be swell, and then we're going to take another list of names. Michaela, please share with us.
Hi. Yes, this is Michaela B. from Frederick, Maryland, recovered compulsive overeater. Hi. Yes, so grateful to be on the line this morning, and thank you for everyone for being here. So paragraph. One thing that stood out to me is, talking about telling someone to go out and get the book and read it and come back. I don't ever tell anyone that I'm working with to do that. As a sponsor, you know, the only thing I really have is the big book and my experience. And I love the big book, and I guess I could call myself a big book thumper. And I always go through the big book, and I always refer back to the big book. One of my sponsors, you know, if I would text her something, you know, sometimes the only thing she would text me back was read page, blah, 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 you know. but I also think that if I had gone out and gotten the big book and just read it, I don't know if I would have gotten much out of it. And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll tell people to go to a meeting and see what they think. And I liked what somebody said about, you know, try 6 meetings, try different meetings. I also really liked what the gentleman said about being shepherds. I always encourage anyone that I'm talking with or working with, to go to meetings and to call people and to get their tribe, you know, to get their community, because I think it's really important to listen to lots of different voices. And, you know, the reason is because my experience was, when I came in to the fellowship, I was so desperate and so miserable, but I was also so prejudiced and closed off to the idea of a higher power. And I thought I was an open-minded person, but really I was so judgmental about the God thing, and I was really judgmental towards people who believed in God and had faith in spirituality and religion and stuff. And I kept relapsing, and I kept leaving and coming back and leaving and coming back. And basically what happened was, is I got beat into a state of reasonableness. I got so absolutely miserable and desperate to the point where I couldn't see a way out. Like, I didn't want to live, but I didn't want to die. You know, I couldn't live with it, but I couldn't live without it. And I had to get to that absolute, you know, desperate, miserable state to have my mind open just enough to think, you know, maybe I don't know, you know, who am I to say there is no God? Who am I to say there is no higher power? And
mental reminder.
Thank you. And so I think the beautiful thing about this program is that it's open to everyone and it's open to every idea. And I think the best thing you can do is to talk to, you know, different people and get different perspectives, and to go through the big book with a sponsor or big book guide, and to have someone help you because thank you. I'll leave it there.
All right, that was Michaela B. from Maryland. And now we're going to take another list of names of people who want to share on page 95 in the big book. Please press star 1.
Jen A.
All right, I heard Jen. Jen A.
Kathy C.
Laura.
Lynn F.
Laura. Lynn, I heard Lynn.
Anna
Kathy C.
Keith B.
Was there an Anna S. and a Kathy C. and a Pete B.
Pedro B.
Pedro. All right, let me tell you who I heard. I heard, and I didn't get second initials, and I didn't get your state, so you can get that later. But I got Jen A., Laura, Lynn S., Anna S., Kathy C., Pete B., and Pedro. Let's go with that list. Jen A., you have the floor, and if you're not Jen A., please press star 1. Jen A.
Good morning,
from Colorado,
Nancy.
Please share with us. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nancy. Thanks, I was unmuting. appreciate it. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Littleton, Colorado. Just listening to this chapter and these meetings in the morning, you know, it just brings me more awareness of who I am in the program. I'm just another bozo on the boat. That's what my sponsor would tell me. You know, you're just another bozo. I'm just another bozo. And we're all sitting here side by side. We all have the same allergy of the body, obsession of the mind. And we all came here, you know, just with problems that beset us with food, exercise, binging, restricting. So when I share my experience in Strength and Hope, I share it on that. And the one who saved me, that one is God. I love how that was said this morning. Thank you for whoever read that. May you find him now. You know, people, meetings, the book, everything's really, really good. But the reality is, deep down inside me, I had to find that one. And that one was God. And I thought I knew God. I thought I had God. You know, I had served in ministry in the church for years. I had done all of that. And yet I was still empty, you know, but I wasn't empty because I was filling myself with food and the obsessions and the behaviors. And so I couldn't find the true relationship with a power greater than myself that was going to restore me to sanity. But when I was able to put all those things down and set everything aside and, you know, pray that prayer, God help me set aside everything I think I know, I feel, I think about all these things for a new experience with what? You, God. That's what the prayer said. Yeah, with God, not with anybody else. And I'll tell you, I have a great, amazing sponsor for 8 years. I have an amazing tribe of people that I run through this program with and do life with. And I've got an amazing book that guides me and directs me. But the number one thing I pray for every day, which I got on my knees this morning, and I said, direct my thoughts and my words and my actions, God. I need God. I need God's help. I do the work. I chop wood, I carry water, and I trust God to do the rest. You know, and I have some really sticky stuff right now going on in my life with work, and, you know, it could be legal, it could be not, I don't know. And I just have to keep asking God, God, how far do you want me to go? You know, what is my next right indicated action to be? That's what this gentleman would say to me on a meeting every Wednesday morning on Zoom. What's my next right indicated action from you, Lord? That's it. And you know what? I see the power of God. I see the power of God everywhere. I never apologize for using the word God. I don't have to say anything else. Yeah, it's a spirit of the universe. Yeah, it's a higher power, but it's God to me. It's big. It's a divine source that's out there that is saving my bacon. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me in Overeaters Anonymous. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Nancy.
It's Jen A. from Colorado, and next we have Laura L. And Laura, if you could tell us where you're calling from, you have the floor.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I appreciate your service and everybody's share, and I'm from Connecticut, grateful member of this program and compulsive overeater. So I'm feeling really humble this morning and a little, I don't know, I realize I have to make some amends to my sponsee. I am talking about pushing and prodding. I realized this over the weekend that I've just been not really listening and pushing, and this isn't pushing her to get into program or to work the steps. It's more to sponsor. And I don't know if pushing and prodding is the right word, but I just, you know, been reminding her throughout the 12 steps that she will sponsor, hopefully, you know, after they're done and everything. And it's been a little rocky. And I think it's because my life has been a bit rocky. I lost my mom recently, and I'm in vision for 4 years, and before that for 20 years in OA. I mean, always OA, vision is OA and OA is vision. That's not what I meant. I meant working the program through other ways. Anyway, what I mean to say is I just wanted for her what I have found eventually for me. It took me years and years to really become a believer and have faith. And and I do. And she didn't, and so, but she wanted to, but she doesn't feel ready. We have gone through the 12 steps, and she doesn't feel ready because she's still not really solid on her higher power, and I sort of keep urging her, and so I'm going to stop. I'm just going to pull back and let her be who she is, where she is, and do what she needs to do. She's doing other forms of service, and that's okay. I think I got into the whole mantra, you know, everybody has to sponsor. And, you know, if some people are really saying, no, it's not the right time, then maybe it's really not, and that's okay. And I'll just continue to listen and work with her and guide her. And I'm a guide, and I don't have to, I really don't have to make, we don't make people do what they aren't ready to do, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it could backfire. And I sort of saw that happening. So with that, I'll pass. I appreciate your indulging me and giving me a chance to share this that's on my mind right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura L. from Connecticut. And now we're going to go to Lynn S. from Canada, followed by Anna S. Lynn, please share with us.
Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. What a powerful paragraph. If he is sincerely interested, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. Isn't this truly what it's all about? Really? And I love the words. It's just not if he's interested, you know, he's got nothing else to do that day. If he is sincerely interested, this is life and death. This is recovering our soul, our spirit, finding a way out of this terrible, deadly disease that controls our mind and our body. And he must decide, not me sitting here on the other end of the phone, yeah, it's going to be really great, you know, just do this. This is what I did, and you're going to get it, and, you know, life's going to be great. No. No, that's all. I'm going to do this. He must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. And what is this all about, really? Is it about, you know, how can I explain it nicely? You know what? I don't need to explain it. The book says it. What it's all about is finding God. That's the whole point of this text. That's the whole point of this book. That's why we do this, to find God, because God is the only solution for a person like me, who had tried for 36 years my way, me do it. I will try anything and everything to do this and just one more kick at the can. No. God is the solution to this terrible disease. God is the solution to every problem in my life. If I am to find God, the desire has to come from within. And where does that desire come from somebody like me who didn't even want to be abstinent at the last go-round? Because it's inherent in each and every one of us that God has planted that seed. And thank you, God, that He was able to reach that seed in me and send out a search and rescue mission. And I was connected with God yet again when I didn't even think I wanted to. But that desire was deep in me and I didn't even realize it. And let's hope
gentle
that
reminder.
The next... Thank you. You know what? I'll just end with that. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Lynn S. from Canada. And next we have Anna S., followed by Kathy C., Pete B., and Pedro. And we have 9 minutes left. So if you guys could take 2 minutes, I think we can hear from everyone. Anna S., please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Yeah, hi, Anna S. from Kenosha, Wisconsin. And, you know, this morning, I'm just so grateful to be here. It took me a long time. I mean, you know, not a long time. I've been in the program a year and a half, and it took me the first half of that to find a sponsor I was willing to listen to. And sometimes when I share, I think some people get mad because I'm not sharing all the struggle yet. I need to share the struggle. I mean, I've been incredibly sick. And I wasn't ready to hear the right sponsor that I was willing to listen to. I wasn't ready to hear until I was sick enough. And, you know, I'm diabetic, and I was diabetic for over 20 years without even knowing it, you know, because I didn't go to the doctor because I didn't have insurance. And, you know, by the time I found out I was diabetic, it was just on a whim, you know, almost like higher power. It was on a whim that I was at the Minute Clinic because my husband made me go. And she's like, let's test your blood sugar. And it was 700. And she said, you needed to go to the hospital. And I said, I feel fine. And, you know, and I found out I was not fine. I could have died. I could have gone in my sleep and died. But that wasn't enough to get me to stop eating. And the first surgeries that I had didn't get me to stop eating. You know, I was sad about having to cut out food, but it wasn't going to get me to stop eating. You know, I was depressed because, you know, I had to give up certain things. And I was calculating, oh, I can have 2 pieces of this and 2 pieces of that. And it's, you know, and I was losing weight. But then I gained it all back because the pandemic happened, you know, because this was in 2020. And then I became a teacher and now I have insurance. And thank God for that. But I still wasn't willing to listen. And
gentle reminder.
Anyway, long story short, I have a lot of 5 months now, and I am doing so much better. I'm so grateful to be here. So thank you. I'll keep coming back. I'll pass.
Thanks, Anna S. from Wisconsin. And next we have Kathy C., I think, from Canada. Kathy, you have the floor. Please share with us.
Good morning, and thank you for jumping in there, Nancy. Hi, everybody. My name is Kathy C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. So I don't know about you guys, but I came here to find a new diet plan. I came here to find skinniness. I came here to find, a new body, because that was the source of my suffering. I thought if I would be skinny, I'd be happy, right? Everyone's happy because they're thin and they, but actually I came to see finally after much trial, you know, much more pain. I saw that, oh my God, I don't have the power to do that. I don't have the power to stay skinny. I would have if I could have. And this book is telling me that my dilemma is I need to find a power greater than myself. Okay, great. But where and how? Well, it told me on page 55, down deep inside me, there is that power. It's a fact that I already have this power. But I keep getting blocked. I keep getting blocked by other desires, by my own mind, my own thinking and believing certain things have to be a certain way. And the only way that was able to be cleared, was for me to set aside everything I thought. And I had to build this relationship with power. So my step two asks me, are you willing to believe that there is a power that can save you? And yes. And then I had to go forward to come to rely on this power. And I had to do the steps, the inventory steps. I had to re-examine, right? Like it tells us, we have to go fact-finding, search. It's all about finding and searching and building, creating a new state of mind. I'm not alone anymore. And I mean that with my in my mind and my heart. God is my greatest companion. It is the most important relationship I have. So every day I sit and I seek
mental reminder.
Knowledge. Thank you very much. I will pass.
Thank you, Kathy C. from Canada. Next, we got Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Pete, you have the floor.
Thanks, Nancy, for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And, I agree with what you said earlier. I don't think it's very common in this day and age that we encounter somebody outside of the meetings and the fellowship that's interested or maybe interested in recovery, like they're describing here, right? So, you know, what typically happens is we have somebody come to the meeting, and they get presented with, you know, the practices that we do as a fellowship and the customs that we've adopted and that gets positioned as the solution, right? This is how many you get a sponsor, and this is how many phone calls a day you make, and this is how many meetings you go to, and these are the tools, the trained, and that gets positioned in their head that this is the solution, right? And see, we don't have a chapter in the big book that says this is our solution. It doesn't say that. It says there is a solution, right? And what is that solution? The solution is that we have to be entirely abstinent. We cannot trigger the phenomenon of craving, and we have to have a spiritual experience of some sort, right? And then we have a program of recovery, and that program of recovery is designed to bring about a spiritual experience. That's the design of it. It's not steps to get me abstinent, to keep me abstinent. It's a process of having a spiritual experience, right? So we have to be super, super careful. We're not supposed to be presenting our solution. We're supposed to be presenting a solution. And that solution is a spiritual experience. Have one any way you want. The steps are a great process to doing so. But offering people this idea that there are non-negotiables and these are how many phone calls a day you have to make and you got to get a boss and you got to do this, that, and the other thing, that is not the solution. The solution, I'll shut up with this. The solution, right, is having a spiritual experience. And the steps are designed to bring about a spiritual experience. And I'm just going to shut up with this. I'm no bozo. And I get offended when people try to call me one. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. And closing us out today is Pedro B. from California. Pedro, please share with us.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yep, you can.
Thank you, Pete. You're not no bozo. Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry. My friend pointed out that I shared yesterday. I shared in the where it wasn't recorded, so I thought I could share now. So I don't know, should I share or should I shut up?
Well, you've got the floor for one more minute.
Okay, so yeah, I'm grateful. I restarted my time on May 1st this year, 6 days ago. And I'm sincerely interested in what you guys have, right? So I need to read this book. Intervals. I gotta look up the word in intervals. After doing that, I must decide for myself whether I want to go on. I should not be pushed or prodded by anybody, my wife or my friends. If I am to find God, the desire must come from within me. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Pedro B., and thank you for your honesty. And thanks for everyone who shared this morning.
Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, May 6, 2025, is 22,406. That's 22,406. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Craig F., will you please read A Vision for You?
Sure. Craig F. from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.